Welcome to Mr. E's Weird World.
Yo, 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 this is Mysteries Exploring Multiversal Life coming at you from the Hizzy. Yeah.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hey.
Good to see you. Good to see your face. Yep.
Thanks. You too.
I'm doing all right.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking some time out. I appreciate this. I was thinking about it, like, why do I want to do this? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't know that I care too much about a social media presence, but at the same time, I feel like that sort of thing might, fingers crossed, sometime in my life be beneficial for me. You know, like if you have people who know about you, then that could lead to other things. You know, I still like to write
sure.
And I still like to do some of those things like that. But that really isn't the like number one reason that I want to do it. I do kind of miss it. It's funny, like we totally could have a conversation. Like we could just say, hey, I'm going to call you up at 9. Let's talk. But we don't do that. So this sort of gives us a like reason and other people too. You know, like I'm going to see if maybe Kitty wants to do it one of these months. But just, you know, it gives me an opportunity to have a reason to touch base, but also a reason to talk about some of the things that interest me mm-hmm. that definitely my wife really doesn't want to talk to me about much or care that much. I guess it doesn't matter if many people listen to this. I know our parents listen to it, and that this is basically, we're having a conversation and then letting our parents and maybe a couple aunts and uncles
peek into the
peek behind the curtain.
I would agree. I really vacillate between whether I want to post stuff on social media, and usually that happens like if I get an interest in something, like, oh, I've started this kind of hobby and now let me post something on Instagram, and
now let me show people.
That'll
this.
Last for usually, you know, if a long stretch will be 6 months, but probably average is about 3 months that'll last. But it is. And, you know, not that you need an excuse, but I don't know. It's an element of fun added to set a time to get together and talk and, you know, and chat and talk about the things that we want to talk about that. Yeah, again, my wife isn't necessarily interested. Maybe segments of it, like she's going to go to Guardians of the Galaxy with me on Sunday. Where date day is Guardians of the Galaxy, but that's just because she happens to really like that franchise because of Groot and Rocket. But other than that, you know, she's very nice that every once in a while she'll say, "So, how are the Seahawks doing? How's DK Metcalf? Did he like she'll take little tidbits? It's really, really nice. And she doesn't really know how I'm going to respond or what the answer is. But like she saw a headline that said DK Metcalf gets penalized for major yardage in game. So she go, oh, how was the penalty that hit? What happened with DK Metcalf? And I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's really nice. So
that's really fun. So she's not, she's not 100% Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like she picks and chooses. She doesn't.
Now she does. Early on, I think she's entered into the franchise fatigue phase with some of those. Like she didn't watch this latest season of The Mandalorian either. Like she gets burnt out on those things. So yeah, then at a point she picks and chooses. Like. She likes the filmmaker who did Eternals, Chloe Zhao. So she went to see Eternals.
Zhao.
I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, Chloe. I'll look that up. That's my bad. No disrespect. Because I know you're listening.
No.
So she picks and chooses the things with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Lonnie's close to that. She She did not watch this season of The Mandalorian. She is not near as the Star Wars, interested in Star Wars as I am. Although she keeps hearing about Rebels and Clone Wars. So she's dipped into Clone Wars a couple of times to check it out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she doesn't have the stamina to slog through all of it. She actually didn't watch, which I think she missed out, but she just didn't catch on to Loki.
Oh,
she didn't watch
Loki.
That.
Oh, that surprises me actually that she didn't watch Loki.
I don't know if the concepts were just like, this is too heavy for me, or I made her watch the last episode before we watched Quantumania.
Oh, just so she would know.
Ground her in that. I think it's just, it's too much of a commitment, really. But she will watch every single movie.
Oh, she watches all the movies.
She watches every Marvel movie.
At least eventually check them out on Disney Plus, but going to, like, she didn't go to Quantumania. She wasn't, you know, interested.
Quantumania was worth it. I think she probably
could have liked it. I think she would have liked it very much. I think the creatures and the world building of the Quantum she would have enjoyed very much. So she'll see it on Disney.
And very funny.
Yeah, and I thought very funny too.
I think that makes a big difference. My belief is the biggest difference between DCU and MarvelU, which I think is gonna change now, but is the humor, the lightheartedness, mixed with the heaviness, you know. But DC just doubled down. It's like they got ruined on Dark Knight and they couldn't get out of
Dark Knight. They took the leadership took the wrong messaging from Dark Knight. They people like Batman being really mean and scary.
And everyone should be mean and scary. And let's just
see.
I think it was like, we need to get an Oscar in a Marvel film, and we will work hard to get it. And you failed.
I interpret that. So you say humor versus the heavy handedness versus the humor or the amount of. I interpret it as a commitment to staying true to what the character really was originally was. In the comic books. So Marvel, I think, has done a great job of, you watch a Spider-Man movie and a Spider-Man movie is different than a Captain America movie, is different than an Iron Man movie, is different than the Daredevil TV show. Right. And those are all three different characters. So that's how I put it in my head.
I see that. And I agree to a point. But I do think that Marvel has also chosen which era or which iteration that they really like, or because it's not necessarily the beginning person. Yeah. It's the, you know, the Captain America we got, I don't think was the original Captain America.
No, good point.
So
that's a good point.
And I think it would be a mistake to go original Superman too. I think Superman is
Original Superman. You know, he didn't fly. He didn't. You know, I don't think he even had X-ray vision or any of that. A lot of that comes from the 70s, if I remember right. Yeah. Silver Age Superman.
Yeah, they need to find the best, most relatable Superman, which. Maybe that's Christopher Reeve.
Superman. I was just going to say that the one problem they've had with Superman is they've just never been able to. Christopher Reeve hit it. That Superman hit it so out of the park because he was able to straddle that line of being the wholesome Superman who's the aspirational figure, but then also being strong enough to do the things Superman should do.
Yeah. Right. I have a lot of faith that James Gunn can figure out the line.
I have faith that overall he can figure out the line. I, for the first time with him, I'm a little iffy about him doing Superman, but that's just me.
I don't think it's going to be Guardians. I don't think it's going to be.
PC. I don't think it can be Guardians. Like Superman as Guardians wouldn't work either. Like that's not what I want to see.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want him to do that, and I don't think he's going to do that. If that's what in your head is that it's going to be that he's going to shoot for that tone, I don't think so. I think that he understands. I think he's a fan, and he understands, you know, the character. And my hope is that he kind of does find some lighthearted funniness to it. Like, I want to like him as a person first. Like, maybe we spend the first hour just getting to know him in high school and his troubles and, you know, get some backstory we haven't seen before about times that he experienced as a kid. Like, and we get to know him almost as a new Superman, not as the same Superman we knew. Okay. But that this guy, this kid, Clarky Kentington, who, I'm just kidding. But, you know, we get to know him as a singular person aside from all the rest. I see Tom Holland differently than I see all the other Spider-Man, including the Peter Parker in the comics. He is this kid who's Spider-Man that... And his troubles are a little bit different than the other kids' troubles. The tone is the same, but it's all it again. Hey, this leads into my rebrand.
Your overall mission statement. Yes.
Yes, my mission 100% is that I believe. So this is I wanted to touch on this because. You understand the title of this podcast changed.
Did yeah, you know I tell me again though. Refresh my memory. I remember you saying that we had changed the title.
Yeah, the title is changed, and I actually want to make sure I got it right. Because
what was it? What was the old one? The old one was
Mystery's Weird World. Great. And the impetus of that was literally I'm like I don't know. Because I don't really have a topic, you know, it isn't about a specific thing. It isn't an interview podcast where we're just interviewing. It's a chat about stuff, usually about pop culture and movies and TV and stuff. But sometimes, like I have one episode that's about teaching or things like that, you know, just it. Could be whatever. So I just wanted to be broad. So I was like, weird world. The world's weird. Let's explore it. I never loved that title, but it is what it was. And I was fine with it. But then I've really been intrigued by the multiverse and literally the multiverse in real life as well. The concept of that. And I created a company because I needed tax write-offs. So
do you have an LLC? Oh
yeah. And the company's name is Multiversal.
Okay,
Life.
Great. Yep.
Right. Because I wanted to tap into, again, that company, much like myself, cannot decide exactly what it is. It is many possible things.
You're a diamond. You're a gem. You have multifacets and your prism bends many ways.
Huh. That's a great way of looking at it. I was thinking it's more like I'm a piece of trash that you can't quite figure out what it is. You think it might be
gum?
Useful.
Is it bird poop?
Yeah, because I don't know what it is exactly. We do our snow cone business operating out of it, but at some point I thought about maybe doing like wedding catering type things you know, events like that or entertainment possibilities. So I wanted to keep it kind of broad. So it's called Multiversal Life. So the podcast name, because I want to talk about those ideas of the multiverse, is Mr. E's Exploring Multiversal Life. So when you think about the title, you could just say the word mysteries, you know, instead of Mr. E's. So Mysteries of Exploring Multiversal Life. So that's the title.
I dig it.
So on that note, Tom Holland is basically just, you know, he's not the Peter Parker in the comic books. He's another universe of Peter Parker. And I always have thought in the past that they have to look the same, but I guess they don't really have to look the same. Maybe a iteration of myself in another universe doesn't look like me at all.
Sure, you could be like a Spider-Ham or a Noir, right? You could be like the anime. So, like that.
What makes them the same person?
Oh gosh. Okay. Have you read any of the Spider-Verse stuff? So right, we've got Into the Spider-Verse, the animated movie, right? And which you've seen, I'm guessing. Project on you. But I'm gonna guess you've seen it.
I've seen it a couple of times.
So and you know that the ideas for that come out of some comic book stuff that have happened. Some comic book storylines in Spider-Man about the Spider-Verse.
I guess I don't know that specific storyline. I know that growing up and in many things that I've read, the multiverse comes up. So it's come up multiple times, but I think what you're saying is there was a specific like Spider-Verse storyline.
There's been multiple, pun intended, multiple Spider-Verse storylines, in the comic books. So in the comic books, they established, so obviously there's the multiverse, and in the comic books we know multiverse has been around, and I think DC probably did it first with the alternate Earths, right? With the, you know, Earth 2, Earth, all of that. But Marvel introduced, and they've had the multiverse, they introduced specifically a thing called the Spider-Verse, which comes out of spiders being the weavers and the strands, and right, so the Spider-Verse sends web strands throughout all the thing, and there's a spider man, not always a man, a spider entity in every realm, everywhere, every realm, every multiverse, there's always a Spider-Man, and it's always, and how I get to this, it's not always an Uncle Ben, often it's an Uncle Ben, but the spider entity is pretty much defined by a great loss early on that then is directly or indirectly caused by something the spider entity did, that then because of that, they launch into their superpoweredness. Now, they're not always a hero. Sometimes sometimes they're a villain. Sometimes they veer off and do like, they're not even a hero or a villain. They do something else. Like there's one version who's a guy who is a family man who lives in the suburbs, and what he does is they don't always even have spider powers. His ability is to throw great backyard parties for his friends and neighbors. Like that's I think that one.
What?
Yeah, don't quote me. Literally, I read this one briefly in the Spider-Verse handbook or something. I was skimming through it, and one he was like bitten by a radioactive wicker chair or something like that. But, yeah. And what he got was the ability to throw like great parties for his friends and neighbors in the suburb, right? But again, there was a tragedy that happened early on, and he made it. That's all just to say it's not proportional strength of a spider. It's not Uncle Ben. It's not being a hero. It's something happened that they indirectly or directly caused, and that spurred them to the next choice they made. And it usually involves some iteration of, with great power, there must also come great responsibility.
Interesting.
Now, those are always now, and those are variable terms, power and responsibility, what that means to each person, right? Or each being.
So when I think about another mystery, another, you know, Keith, another Stephen King in a parallel universe.
Yeah.
I think of that I guess on the realm of soul.
Okay.
That same parallel linked soul exists in that other universe. Yep. Maybe that soul died way early on, and so I don't exist anymore. Maybe that soul, was stillborn. You know, who knows? But that there was a equal and opposite, not necessarily opposite, but equal energy that was the same frequency tune of me in infinite realities. What you're talking about with Spider-Verse, interestingly enough, is more like I don't want to say job, but like you could do it this way. There's a president in another alternate universe. It may not be our current president. In fact, it likely isn't. You know, Joe Biden in another universe is some other totally different job. So that's why in the Spider-Verse, from what I'm getting, it's like, it's not always Peter Parker.
Yeah, it's not always Peter Parker.
There are Peter Parkers that exist in those universes that maybe never took on the mantle of, you know, so that's sort of like, you know, there's always a blank. There's always almost in the realm of like gods or that sort of thing. Like there's a spider god or a spider
totem. And I think they refer to it as the spider totem. In some it's in one it's Aunt May. Like Aunt May gets the powers, and in one Uncle Ben, and then obviously there's Spider Gwen, right? So Gwen Stacy one universe, and it's actually Peter Parker. It's Peter Parker's death that kind of spurs her forward. He becomes the Lizard actually in the original Ghost Spider now is what they call her, not Spider Gwen. Ghost Spider. Peter Parker, her best friend, becomes a Lizard, and she has to fight him, and he ends up dying, and you know that whole thing. I guess you're right. Those are two different multiverses of multiversal theory. One, we're talking about a thing.
I think it's different aspects.
Yeah.
Because I think that they both can live together, of course.
100%.
But there's the idea of the same person, and then there's the idea of the same necessary glue that holds the whole thing together. Yeah. And one of those things is the spider token. You know what? I'm sure there always has to be a Superman type champion, to be honest, in
DC.
Many multiverses.
There's always a Superman, a Batman, and a Wonder Woman. Those are kind of the three, right? And usually there's a Green Lantern and a Flash, I think. So the Justice League 7, the Holy Trinity 7. That's not right, but
yeah, I don't think it's it doesn't even divide correctly. Yeah,
it doesn't. Come on. when you're talking about like you and another, like the IRL multiversal theory, like Elise and I often talk about, we'll mention like, so a song comes on and, you know, and we'll sing it together. Like we're, you know, we're making dinner and a song, playing music, and a song will come on that we both like, and we'll sing it. We'll be like, you know, I bet there's a multiverse where the two of us were a traveling performing singing duo, right? That we do that because we enjoy it. Like we enjoy doing that, and we enjoy performing and, you know, and telling stories to people, where we kind of have this act where we get booked in, you know, auditoriums to like do our thing where we sing and tell jokes and stories about what's going on. Like that's a multiverse. I'm sure there's a multiverse where, and I don't know where, or a multiverse version of me where I'm a rock star on my own, like that happened, like I have that aspect in me, right? I'm sure, you know, you've got yours where maybe you discover, or Lonnie has discovered a new kind of thing they enjoy, right? A hobby or something they enjoy. And they're like, wow, maybe in another, we used to say another life, right? But kind of multiverse is the new term, which is funny. With this explosion of comic book ideas into the mainstream, I'm like, well, people are like, well, the multiverse. I'm like, I've been talking about the multiverse since I was 10 years old, right? Like it's always been like this concept that I knew.
But yeah, I love it when there's a property that comes out with something like that, and everyone thinks it's revolutionary, and we're gone. I remember when what is that Tom Hanks movie, Da Vinci Code?
Yes, I
came out too.
I think of the same.
And this whole idea of like a revisionist Jesus or whatever, and we're like, that is old. That's like, that's not even surprising. Like, it's kind of boring.
Preacher did that in what, the mid 90s or whatever. So,
and did it better in some ways.
The TV show landed.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
The landing, but that's okay.
I mean, that's a tough
property. It's a tough property. I applaud.
I had high hopes.
I applaud, but, you know, Berg for even taking it on.
Oh man. But this is actually another part of that sort of the difference between in another life and in a multiverse, because in another life, almost that's almost reincarnating theory, like in my brain when you think about it, because when you say, oh, in another life means like maybe next time around or maybe earlier that happened. But multiverse is saying it's happening now.
Or if that other dimension, that other verse is before or after. I mean, it spans time, right? So I was thinking of.
Yeah, but.
Oh.
Okay, but I'm just going to say, if you think about time that way, everything is happening all at once.
Everything. So, everywhere, all at once.
Yeah. All at once.
Yes. Well, because I was thinking of it, if I want to, I'm going to get the text you originally were like, I think you said, let's talk multiverse theory and Star Wars and Star Trek. Right. And I was like, oh, I can totally make a case that Star Wars and Star Trek are in the same, that they even exist in the same universe because. Because Star Wars happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and Star Trek is the future, right?
Yes, I love
and
that.
Supposedly idea. Are so yeah. So why couldn't like Kirk and Spock and the Enterprise dock outside of a planet they've just found, and they go down and they find ruins of a Star Destroyer, right? That crashed.
Absolutely.
Or pieces of the Death Star that floated down from exploding, you know, over the forest moon of Endor.
Well, and then at some point we could see, I mean, they could travel back in time, right? And they wouldn't even have to cross over into different universes and interact. But it absolutely could be. Yeah. So I guess I want to set up. So Stephen King a long time ago posited the idea that every story is a universe, right? And I loved the Dark Tower series where at some point he was fighting people throwing snitches at him and lightsabers.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, well, and, yeah. So,
and he appeared in his, right, like he appears in it.
Yeah, and he appears in his own. Yeah, absolutely. But those crossovers of universes. So I believe that there is a universe with Harry Potter and with Wonder Woman, and they exist in those universes. But there is a possibility of maybe some of them cross over. Like, is there a possibility that you know, like Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings are the same universe, or Star Wars and Star Trek. Yeah, why not? There is nothing that tells us that they're not, because Star Trek is very similar, but completely scientific and futuristic and everything, right? It's in the way future, and Star Wars is in a long time ago. So it actually makes sense, because Star Wars is the almost sword and sorcery, you know, it as if, like, if we thought Lord of the Rings actually did happen, you know, in our universe, and now the world has moved on and changed and magic has left, and now it's science. It's the same thing. Star Wars is the magic side, and in Star Trek, they've lost the
Force
the Force. Yeah. The magic.
I had put it one time to me, or I read it, that the difference between them, Star Trek is the science and Star Wars is the fiction. They're both science fiction. Star Trek is the science and Star Wars is the fiction. Right. They have,
in my head, I'm like, well, I mean, they're both technically fiction. No. But if they're happening in an actual universe, then I guess it's nothing is fiction.
Well, I'm gonna posit this. I liked what you said. So supposedly, Lord of the Rings is our world. Just Middle Earth has passed away into what we have now, right?
Okay.
Game of Thrones. So Star Wars leads to Game of Thrones, leads to Star Trek. That is all okay. One. That those aren't even multiversal. That's versal. They're same. Right.
One self-contained universe.
One.
Just a timeline continuity. As opposed to multiverse.
Yep.
Okay.
But there's got
so
one. Oh.
I love the idea that you could just say that, but I like that we need to be able to say why. Why? What's the connecting threads?
The connecting threads. Because I'm going to throw another one.
You're going to add another one to it?
Yeah, I needed a bridge between Game of Thrones and Star Trek. That's too big a jump. Okay. The bridge is the MCU.
Oh, gosh.
Star Wars, Game of Thrones, MCU, Star Trek.
Okay, but all right. So we're going to you've blown up this whole thing, but we're going to get into it, but I want to add reincarnation into the mix the possibility. Okay. Because one thing that I like to do is think about how if every movie, basically every story, is a multiverse. Mm-hmm. So then Jason Momoa, that person in another universe is what's the name of the guy from Dune?
Atreides? Paul Atreides? The main guy?
No.
Oh, Jason his Momoa's guy. Oh, character. I forget off the top of my head. But Jason Momoa's character. Yeah.
It's a state name. It's like Nevada or Texas or something. All around. That guy.
Colorado. Montana.
Huh?
Montana.
Yeah, it's Colorado Jones. Colorado Jones in Dune is the same multiversal soul link as Khal Drogo, who is the same as
Aquaman. Maybe, because you're now getting into, I mean, wow, you want to think I blew it up. You're now getting into, as you get different versions of, is Aquaman, hard water hand Aquaman from the comic books. I don't think that's the same soul as Aquaman from the comic books. I mean, Aquaman from the movies.
Yeah, because what we learned from the Spider-Verse is sometimes those roles are different people, and it's more the iteration of the role within the universe. So there's two different things within the universe that get recycled and carried on and passed on amongst. There's the necessary role, and then there's the individual soul. So what I want to do is, what do you think are some of the, because I believe in this theory, those individual souls within that same universe recycle.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, Jaime Lannister might be a reincarnated soul from that same universe of someone from Lord of the Rings, for instance, because they're all in the same universe by what we're saying.
Aragorn. Right? No, Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones aren't in the same universe. Lord of the Rings is in our in real life universe.
Oh, wait. So what did you? Oh, it was Star Wars. Sorry. Star Wars, Game of Thrones, Marvel.
Of Han Solo. Who'd I put? MCU. Tony Stark is a reincarnation of Jaime Lannister, and Captain Kirk is a reincarnation of Tony Stark. There, that's the lineage. Han Solo, Jaime Lannister, Tony Stark, Captain Kirk.
Okay, we're going to come back to this. Let me just finish my thought, because I disagree with you. But so, yes, absolutely, that there can be, within the same universe, the iteration of the soul, and then there's also going to be an iteration of the role. So that might be different. Like, there maybe needs to be a Darth Vader. That's not always going to be Anakin Skywalker. Oh,
absolutely. Always has to be a Darth Vader. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So let's just, you know, honestly, you have actually created this is going to have to continue, because I want to think about it a little bit, but let's just riff a little bit on that. So I don't understand how you can say Han Solo is
Han Solo.
What is it? The connecting thread, but like, okay, give me your thesis on this. What's the connecting thread between those?
The rogue that, at heart, the outer rogue with an inner good heart that often, not always, but often has to overcome a sin or something from their past to redeem themselves.
Okay. All right. You sold me. I guess that wasn't that hard. At first, I think of Kirk a little bit too narrowly, but Kirk really is kind of a rogue.
Oh, one. He cheated, right? I mean, he cheated at Kobayashi Maru. Come on. I mean, I'm a Kirk, like of the captains, I'm a Kirk guy.
Yeah, but I actually was thinking about this. There may be a couple of Star Trek fanatics listening to this. Just, you know, cards on the table. I know fairly well, like I don't know every episode, but I know the core original crew. And I know Next Generation pretty well. I don't really know much else about.
I got a little bit of Deep Space Nine knowledge, like about that much.
Ooh.
I mean,
you got a little Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine. But I unfortunately have not delved into a lot of the newer stuff, the Picard or you know, Lower Decks or things like that.
Yeah. Apparently,
I know the movies. The movie I've seen,
Picard is really good.
I've seen all the movies.
Yeah, and I liked Next Generation. I mean, I probably liked as a kid. You know, you tended to go towards like Worf and Data because they were kind of interesting and different.
Yeah. And I like Picard as well. I actually thought the movie where Kirk and Picard meet was at Generations. I think that was one of my more enjoyable movies. I liked the interplay. between them. So, then I was going to say, I was trying to figure out the Captain America.
Okay. Just to clarify, the role or the Steve Rogers?
Because I didn't say Iron Man, did I? I didn't say who was the Iron Man. I said Tony Stark.
Right. Because yeah. I don't think they play the same. If it's role, then I wouldn't agree with you. But if you're talking soul, the soul of Han Solo probably does exist in Jamie Lannister. But they play a different role in the...
Han Solo isn't the same role as the Jamie Lannister. Jamie Lannister being the, you know, ultimately the deciding to go against his family and be something different. But Han Solo is who he is, which I enjoy.
Yeah. Jamie Lannister could possibly be
No, he could be the.
Well, I don't know. I was going to say like Anakin almost.
I think we must have said it at the same time and didn't hear each other. I was said Anakin. Oh. I mean, Anakin goes against his family twice.
Yeah. Right? But it goes a different way. For Jamie, it goes positively. Yeah. For Anakin, it goes negatively.
Well, I mean, it goes negatively at first, but then he's the one with the Force again and able to commune with Obi-Wan and Yoda.
He killed children.
He did. It's true.
They both killed children in some way.
I loved. Okay, little slight diversion. Are you caught up on The Mandalorian?
Yes.
I have not seen the
spoilers.
I have not watched the final episode, so I'm not going to talk about that. But I loved how they connected Grogu to that he was with the foundlings when Anakin came in to kill everybody, that he was there. And I loved who rescued him.
Man, those guys are freaking really smart. Like, I think collectively talking together, they obviously have magic and knowledge. And I would have never thought that, but it was perfect.
Very, very much. We were fortunate enough. There's a thing down here that happens every year called Paley Fest, where they show different episodes of television. People get to come and watch it, what things that are coming out. And then there's a panel of the people involved. And we got to see a Mandalorian one that Favreau, Filoni, one of the other directors, and then Pedro from Starbuck, from Battlestar Galactica, forgetting the actor's name.
Oh, Sackanuts.
Yeah. Pedro and Kate were there. And it was very cool hearing them talk and hearing Favreau and Filoni talk about like what the like how like kind of that whole it was very much you were like, whoa, those guys are absolute fans, and they're thinking about the entire like they, and especially Favreau is credited as creating the Mandalorian, but I think Dave Filoni might be like the real like guy who's got his hands in everything. He might be the Feige for the current Star Wars, because he's actually the one they kind of come to make sure that Andor is keeping within, not that it's the same style show as The Mandalorian, but that that everything feels connected through all the Star Wars material. Because I guess he's actually the one that Lucas kind of passed everything on to, because he was the Clone Wars guy. And after Clone Wars, or when Clone Wars was being made, and I guess Lucas probably knew he was going to sell or looking at, he was like, Dave, you're the keeper. You're the one who's taken Star Wars. So Kathleen Kennedy, I think, has the same title as Feige, but I think Filoni serves the role of Feige.
Yes. No, I 100% agree. Filoni is the Feige, and he actually in some ways came up with the idea of Mandalorian, because he said he wanted to do like a Clone Wars or a spinoff about The Mandalorians, or, you know, I saw an interview that, like, it was when he connected with Favreau, they were talking about different ideas, and that was one idea, and the, you know, and they ran.
That was the one that stuck. I guess.
I mean, obviously, what's his name? Favreau has a big hand in it, like his. Especially with the style and everything, and how they, you know, I'm sure it was his idea to kind of make it a Kurosawa Western type or whatever. But yeah, Filoni is definitely the keeper of the knowledge and making everything fit so well. Like, we just love that he keeps bringing in all these. I mean, have you seen Rebels?
No, I haven't seen Rebels, but I know.
Okay, so Rebels is heavily. They're already bringing them in, like the last couple episodes of Mandalorian, at least the last two, are completely bringing in Rebels characters and connecting it, and then we're going to get into Ahsoka, which is all Rebels
and Clone Wars. She's in Clone Wars too, I think, isn't she, Ahsoka?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely, but she's interacting with the other tangential characters. Are a lot of the, you know, the cast that they've revealed is characters. Thrawn, I don't even know all their names because I haven't finished Rebels, but there's a Mandalorian girl in Rebels. She's in it. There's a, what's the name of the race of people with the, you know, it's the same, the dancer in Jabba's palace. They've got the
Bilex or
that might be right.
Twi'lek.
I think you're right. She's the pilot in Rebels. She's in it. And they're talking about eventually we're going to get to, there's two Jedi in Rebels.
Oh.
That they're probably going to.
Well, and isn't Katie Sackhoff's character, doesn't that character appear in Clone Wars as well?
Oh, yeah. Katie Sackhoff's character was
created. I didn't know that until, because I haven't seen all of Clone Wars. I didn't know that until this panel. And she said she voiced the character for Clone Wars. I was like, oh, crazy. Okay.
Yeah, you know who voices the main, and I haven't finished Rebels. I mean, probably people out there going, he dies at the end of Rebels. He's not going to show up. But the main Jedi who is teaching the younger Jedi in Rebels. He's voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, really?
And I wouldn't be surprised if someday Freddie Prinze Jr. shows up. And do you know the backstory of the, you know, the guy who saved Grogu?
I don't know the backstory of that character.
You have to look it up. It's freaking mind-blowing that they connected all of this. 10, 15 years ago, he was on a YouTube-only show called Jedi Training Adventure. I can't even remember the name of it. But it was a reality show where real kids, 10-year-olds,
that show. I actually remember.
Would come on. And they would do like little like challenges and pretend to be Jedis. And the host of that show was that character played by that same actor.
You know who that actor is, don't you?
Yeah. That's why the connection's so amazing. But it wasn't just that they made that actor a Jedi. That actor technically has been a Jedi who teaches and trains younglings for the past 15 years. It was this one-off show.
Wow.
Crazy. Wow.
That's smartest guys in the room.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So I feel good having our franchises
in the hands they're in. Supposedly, I'm sure what time is it? Actually, I kind of lost track of time.
We have about 5 minutes.
So
and I want to record a couple of intros and outros.
So, okay. I was just gonna say on that. We come back to the conversation we have on the next podcast. But on that note, supposedly Guardians 3 is supposed to be it's tracking for amazing amounts of money, but number 2 is supposed to be the best Marvel movie since Endgame.
Well, thanks for setting me up for extremely high expectations.
Your expectations were already high.
they were high, now, but now they're Endgame really high. I wasn't Endgame high.
Yeah, I didn't say as good. I said, okay. So I heard you guys are going on Sunday. Dad's going on Sunday.
Sunday, he said 4:30. You better be careful. It's 4:20. And
yeah, he told me 4:20. Yeah. So you might want to reach out to him and say,
I told him I was planning to be there about 3:40 or so, just to make sure.
One at 12:30 on Sunday.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Don't text us anything until. Have you looked up?
Recording. Is there... Like I'm gonna live stream. Right.
Do you know if there's one or two?
I don't know yet.
And
Usually Google that right as the credits start rolling.
That's what I do too. But I always think it'd be better if I just knew.
Yeah, beforehand. But I don't want to.
But I guess. Yeah, I'm afraid if I Google it, it'll say what it
Look,
is.
This wasn't a great movie, but I had. Have you seen Black Adam?
No.
Do you know about the? Do you? It's not very good. Hawkman's cool. There's a mid-credit sequence in Black Adam that they were setting up a huge thing, but now obviously with James Gunn taking over, they've already said Black Adam's not going on. I had that mid-credit sequence ruined for me, and I really wish I hadn't because it's actually pretty cool. Do you want spoiler?
Yeah. Yeah. To spoiler alert for the terrible movie Black Adam that I blame. I love The Rock, and I really like him as an actor usually. I blame him for ruining that franchise. But
Hawkman was cool. And then they had Henry Cavill show up as Superman.
That's cool.
That's very cool. And he talked to Black Adam, like him and Black Adam had a little scene.
And you know what? This is what's so BS about that is but The Rock would refuse for Black Adam to show up in Shazam?
No. Right. Yeah, that's a little.
I mean, like, pay it forward, yep. Man. Cavill's doing it for you, and you're not going to do it for...
It's a little.
Not cool. And he's known for being a generous kind of guy.
Yeah, it must have had to do with... I mean, the rumor is, and again, rumor, I don't know all this, but the things I read was that he wanted to kind of be the gun. Like he wanted to be the architect of the new, of the way DC would go.
Hubris.
Right. Can get you time. But Pete and John have been so successful in Seattle.
Because they don't have hubris.
They don't have hubris with each other.
Yeah. You think this is going to be, a building year or a knock it out of the park year?
I think this is going to be, you know, San Francisco's still good, and that's who you got to kind of go through. But I think outside of San Francisco, they've closed the gap on them, definitely. I'm not going to say they're better, but they could take a game. One, they could split with them this year, and then it'll come down to the other things. They could be contending for the NFC Championship this year. Barring staying healthy.
It's always
Barnes. You always got to – always health. Always health. But provided people stay healthy, and if they hit on even half the amount of draft picks this year that they did last year, and if those – the last year's draft picks take the step forward they're supposed to take, I mean, it could be scary. That – I don't know how much you've looked, but the receiver they got in the first round is nuts.
I don't really follow the draft or watch the draft. I just find out as I go along. But I know that the talking heads say that we had a good draft. like
that? We kind of by consensus, some argument, got the best cornerback and the best receiver in the draft.
Nice. And Geno is still
Is still the guy.
So as long as he stays healthy and
consistent. Geno stays healthy and consistent. They got another offensive lineman to go with the two they had last year who, you know, started all but one game, both of them last year. It should, I mean, it should steamroll. And it is going to look a lot more like 2012, 2013 on both offense and defense.
All right. Well, I'm excited.
Anyway.
Don't get me too excited. It's
too early. Too early.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I think we're good. Thanks, everybody, for listening, watching, whatever. Oh,
I want a nickname. Listening. You get to be Mr. E. You called yourself Mr. E, the third person, and then you said my name was Key. I want a nickname.
Well, I was thinking, like, you...
I'm like the Ed McMahon, right? Like, is that kind of what this is? You're the Johnny Carson, and I'm the Ed McMahon?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Or you could be Andy and I can be Conan.
Okay, we could. Yeah, that's a good. I mean, that's the same dynamic right there. Yeah.
Yeah. I like Andy better than Ed McMahon. Sorry, okay.
Ed. All right, I got to cut. All right. I'm going to come up with a nickname. Ask around about it.
I was thinking, like, you know, you like to no, I don't know. I was thinking of something. I was trying to insult you, but I couldn't think of anything really, really quick. You're so,
smoker, weren't you?
What?
You were going to say meat smoker.
You do smoke meat.
I do smoke meat.
A lot.
I do.
All right. Okay. That's it for our show. Next time, which our next show may not be with
Meat Smoker.
Meat Smoker. Our next show might not be with Meat Smoker, but the next time Meat Smoker and I meet, I am really excited. So this is your homework. Yeah. Number one, I want a name for this multiverse.
The one I created?
The one you've created. Gosh. What is the name of this? Think about it for next time. Yeah. And think about the connections like we talked about. What are the primary roles that must exist within this universe like Spider-Verse? And what are the, you know, like immediately I'm thinking, for instance, this is the easy one off. In Star Wars, there was a guy who sells pieces of rehydrated bread to Tatooine beggars, you know, in Force Awakens.
Oh,
right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? She brings in credits or what he gives her a little thing of rehydrated bread. That person somehow becomes Scotty, you know, in reincarnate.
Scotty from Star Trek?
Scotty from Star Trek. Gosh. Yes.
You don't think that's Watto? From Phantom Menace.
I'm only making that connection because Simon Pegg plays both those characters. Yeah. So just that's an easy, like, okay, throwaway one. You can make that case easy. I don't even know if there's other actors that are same. I'm going to look into that a little bit. But barring that, I mean, I love the idea that Han Solo reincarnate is. I mean, his intelligence has increased for sure, is Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But he's still got that roguish nature. Yep. I believe that at one point Pepper Potts said, I love you. And he said, and Tony Stark said, I know.
That's right.
Right. Like, okay. Yeah. That is the same person. Okay. So think about some of those connections and we'll talk about it next time.
Sounds good, man.
All right. Thanks everybody. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Let me just record. All right. So, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Excellent. Okay.
Really?